confidant, my scientific, knowledgeable, experimental. Ooh, give me a beaker. Ooh, give me a molecule. Ooh, mRNA, RNA. Welcome to Confidently Insecure, the podcast where we are absolutely sure we don't know everything. I am your host, Kelsey Dara. And boy, is that log line truer than ever, because we have such a fun episode today. We have a science educator, both on IG and TikTok, over 500,000 followers. Thank you very much. He's the creator of Lab Shenanigans, a brand that makes fun, easily digestible science content. So, you know, I can understand it. He graduated from the University of Texas at Austin and received a Bachelor of Science in Biochemistry and a Bachelor of Arts in Theater. Welcome to the podcast, Darion Gwynn.
Hello, hello.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. I was focusing so hard on getting that Gwynn, the G on the win. Of the thank you for bearing with me.
You almost got it. Gwynn?
Shit. Gwynn? When?
Yeah. Ooh.
Okay. Yes. Darion, hi. Thank you for being here. You are a TikTok star and you're so fun and you're already giving me so much energy. Tell me, how the hell did you get into science?
Ooh. Girl. Okay. So I've always been into science, not going to lie. Like, maybe she's born with it. She is born with it. Yeah. And so I've always been into science and math. And you know, I feel like I've just been surrounded by really good mentors growing up who helped foster this interest in science and made me like it even more. But I think like shows like Bill Nye the Science Guy at a very young age definitely helped a lot.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've just been surrounded by really good mentors who made me explore different areas of science that I didn't think I'd like the brain, neuroscience. And so that's what I'm interested in right now.
Oh my gosh. We have done so much conversation about neuroscience on this podcast. Weirdly enough, like we do talk a lot about like vagina and culture and like women's issues, but weirdly, we've also talked a ton about neuroscience. I can't wait to dive into that. But like, here's my question. If someone likes science, right? Like I was really good at environmental science. Like mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell. Know that for sure. But I was never like, let me make this a career. Like at what point were you like, I'm so good at this, I should do this professionally?
Well, I think it's that intrinsic personality of wanting to know, wanting like just staying curious. Now, I mean, I was curious at a very young age. I knew I was gay, but like always wanting to find out the answer of something, and really just, and so that's what I'm doing right now. Like I'm a research tech. I'm doing research, and I think I've always had this just innate curiosity of wanting to learn more, wanting to further understand this specific mechanism or phenomenon. And so it's just the constant state of wondering and being curious that has really pushed me to go into this field.
That's a really sexy quality to have, I feel like, just also as like a partner, right? You want someone who's constantly curious of like, how can I better something or figure out the engineering of this like relationship? And I just feel like that's a positive quality to have as a person as well. But tell me, what motivated you to study? I mean, I know you said you're doing research tech right now, but what is biochemistry? Like, that's such a big word. What does it mean? Break it down for us, so, plebeians, us regular folk.
So break it down now, y'all. Two pops this time. No,
I'm obsessed with you.
So biochemistry, so when we think of like chemistry, you know, we think of molecules binding together, makes another molecule, A plus B equals C. And then biology, we think of like living organisms and microorganisms and cells and whatnot. And so biochemistry is literally the combination of biology, chemistry, like where certain molecules or enzymes can react in this specific cell and it reacts this way. So, you know, when we understand this specific characteristic of a molecule, we can make drugs that look like that molecule. So we have the same effect when we...
I'm like following, but to be honest, all those words you said, like molecule, cell, bio, I'm like, those aren't all the same thing. Okay, got it. Okay, so like,
you're like
bio,
okay, brain overload.
Yes, I'm like, I even took my Adderall this morning and I'm like, I'm really trying here. So tell me, like, biochemistry, does that mean you're studying things like you mentioned, like how we can make like vaccines or whatever? I don't know if you mentioned that, but I saw it on your TikTok. But like, are you studying things biologically with humans or biologically with anything that is a living organism?
The latter. Definitely. Okay. The overall goal is to better the health of like the human species. The one specific I guess project that I'm focusing on is I'm studying a very rare neurodevelopmental disorder.
So, tell me more.
This disorder in humans was discovered in 2016, and it's called, it's a mouthful, okay?
Okay, we're ready.
It's called the hypotonia, ataxia, and delayed development syndrome.
Okay.
Or HAD syndrome for short.
Okay.
And so what I'm essentially doing is studying this syndrome, this disorder, in mice.
Okay.
And so I'm, like, characterizing these mice, and I'm further understanding them so that we can understand the mechanism of what's happening in their brains and translate it and try to further understand it into humans.
And ultimately, like, we do these things so that we can, like you said, better the human race or like make us healthier. Mm-hmm. Like, is the goal to make us live longer and forever? Or are we just trying to become indestructible or just like have a better time while we're here for like 100 years?
I'm here for a good time, not long. Yeah. No, but, I mean, and I think with my specific project is to further understand the humans that have this disorder and in the future, you know, long-term, how we can prevent it.
I see. Prevent okay.
It,
so
further understand the development.
Yes. Yeah. You're, so you're trying to get it like right when it's happening. Like you're like, ooh, we see something wrong with like what? A baby, an embryo, a like a fetus. And then we try to fix it before it becomes out.
It's right at gestation. And, you know, there's a lot of like technologies now to see, to choose what, you know, eye color I want my baby to have. And so there's this, I mean, long term, we can try to make sure that there aren't any babies that have this specific syndrome or that aren't have other genes that are affected. So, yeah.
You're like doing the Lord's work, casual. Got it. Okay. But like, tell me, because obviously you decided to start making content about this. And I assume maybe your theater degree has like a little bit to do with why you're so great at like making content. But what provoked you? Was it just that, you know, it's something you loved mixed with what everyone is doing now our age? Well, I just grouped me into your age. It's not true. But like, you know, what inspired you to make this kind of content for a platform that, you know, highlights dancing?
Yeah. You know, so it comes from a selfish reason, honestly. At a very young age, I've always loved attention and I love entertaining other people.
Yes.
And so that is like the primary goal. Like when I first started out on TikTok, which was 2018, 2019.
Wow.
And at the time, it still had that that musically residue, and so we all like, ew.
The residue, we weren't app?
Let's just download it for fun and not take it seriously. And so I downloaded it at its early stage of when it was actually TikTok, and I was like, let me just make content for myself just to put funny science content out there, and it really is just for my purpose of trying to entertain others. But also sprinkle some of my science content. And initially I had no intentions on staying long on this platform. It was just, let me just do the Lord's work and let me just throw up.
Healthy plebeians that didn't finish college. Yes.
I'm just kidding. Let me just throw out some science content and then just walk away from it. And so that's actually what happened. I made a video. About like mitosis using an audio clip from what's the show called? Dance Moms. And I made a video, didn't open the app for like a couple of days, I think a week probably. And I found out that video gained about 30, 40,000 likes, and I gained about, I think, like 15, 20,000 followers based off that one video. It's so crazy. So then I thought, okay, maybe like I am doing something right. Maybe people do like this type of science content. And yeah. So I just kept doing it. And it really surprised me in the very beginning because, you know, like students go to school to learn this stuff. And when you come home from school, the last thing you expect is wanting to learn more, like to see this content again. And so it really surprised me that these students like science content. And so I just kept doing it and it really just grew bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah. And just kept now going you're at crushing it. Like you're, I just love how you can literally make any trend into a video about science. Like I'll hear a noise and I'm like, there's no way he's about to. And then somehow I'm like, oh, yep. Fit it in. And it makes it really relatable and fun. And like for someone like me who dropped out of three colleges, never passed a science class in her life, except for environmental sciences in high school, because I got to take care of the gerbils. And I think that's probably the only reason why I got to pass. It makes it really understandable and relatable. But now I have to know, like my biggest question is like, what the heck does your schedule look like? Because one, you're on TikTok doing like your thing, then the next one you're in a science lab, then you're on like a brand trip with Johnson & Johnson meeting your heroes, then you're like back in a dorm room, and I'm like, what is going on with your calendar?
So surprisingly it's very chill. So when I talk to other content creators, they have like a very strict schedule of 9 o'clock I wake up, drink coffee, 9:30 I plan content for the rest of the day, 10 o'clock go, and I'm like, honestly, I just make videos of whenever I'm in the mood. For the most part, like I spend majority of my time in lab, and then before I leave lab, in the middle of the day while like I'm doing experiments, some experiments can be very repetitive where like I'm literally just doing this for like an hour or two.
Sure.
And that's when a lot of like the creative sparks really happen. And so while like my thoughts are like incubating and like being marinated, I have like, I'm making like blueprints of how I'm going to execute the next video. And so while I'm doing my experiments, and then before I leave lab, I generally make all my videos at night, like midnight, 1 a.m., 2 a.m. And I feel like because I had so much time to kind of prepare and prep, I just do it really quickly, like in 5-10 minutes. And then I just let it sit out. And then with all of these brand sponsorships and trips and whatnot, I plan those like a month in advance. And so I will try to do it like on the weekend or something so that it doesn't interfere with my lab work. But if I need to, then I can go on a weekday and then make up the lab work on like the weekend. And so I'm like go with the flow and I don't plan. I plan kind of low key in advance.
Okay, I was going to ask, what's your sign? Because you're giving me, like, Capricorn, but also Leo. Like, I can't figure out who you are.
I'm a Libra.
Oh, no and, like,
and I get so much shit for it because every time, like, my colleagues and I or, like, my friends and I, we decide to go somewhere, like, where should we eat? And it, for some reason, it's always up to me to decide where to go. And I'm just like, I don't know. I want A, but B sounds good. But I like the food from A.
Exactly.
And you so I'm a very indecisive person. So but I get so much shit for it.
Almost like with what you do, though, the Libra like balance is such, it makes so much sense. And even in like science, you have to be hella objective. Like, I don't think a Leo could ever be a famous scientist because we're too fucking emotional. We're too like obsessed with ourselves. Or like a Cancer might like just absolutely die if something went wrong in the lab. Like, I think Libras are the perfect type of scientist. Agree or disagree?
It's funny you say that because I know a friend who is a Leo and who is pursuing a PhD, but he's not happy. And so he's actually quitting his PhD program.
There you go. I'm just saying. Okay, so like, tell me why science is cool, because with the Panini pandemic, Patrissa, happening, I feel like all of a sudden everyone thought they had a degree. Everyone's like just Googling one thing at a time. Like all of a sudden they know and can spit facts. Like as someone who literally works in a lab, what were you like, how was your, what was your thoughts over the pandemic?
Definitely. I was just kind of, it's hard to explain sometimes like the exact mechanism of how vaccines work, of how you can get COVID. And so it's kind of like trying to explain the rules of a very complicated board game like Catan to a person
I love Catan.
Doesn't, I know, same
we
here.
Will play. We will jump online and play. Okay, sorry. Go,
it's
on.
Like it's like trying to explain the rules of this board game to a person who doesn't even want to play the board game, you know?
Mm.
And so the more that you're trying to explain the rules, they're just like, well, I heard from this other person that Catan's boring, or like the way that you have to do this is this. And so they're very stubborn with their thoughts. And it's kind of hard to try to break it down to a more simpler form if you don't even want to hear it. And so that was very frustrating on like on our part. And I know that with research, the reason why I love it so much is because we're trying to learn the rules of the board game, if you will. Like we're trying to further understand, how does this board game work? Why does it work like this? And, you know, as a little kid, we always love like the big explosions of like in science experiments and mixing chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
And it is kind of low key like that with my everyday experiments, but on a smaller scale. Aren't any explosions, but it's always cool to like slice the mouse brain and like take a closer look. And then we're adding these little, what are called like antibodies with fluorophores that like light up. And so when we look at these brains under the microscope, different parts of the brain do light up. And that is really cool. Like my little inner 5-6-year-old self is like so happy, gleaming with joy. And so that's why I love research, because like it's these small little experiments that's helping me fuel my curiosity of like wanting more, because I'm a little greedy. And I just want to learn more and try to understand this mechanism.
Wow. I can't imagine how frustrating it must have been, like literally to be in the field of science for the last 2 years, but then also have to be focusing on like what you're doing. Like it must have felt like double duty. Like were your friends and family constantly like texting you like, is this vaccine safe? Should I get it? Like, what do you think? Like, do I have corona?
No,
like, were you overwhelmed?
No, I actually wasn't overwhelmed. I mean, the very common question was like, what's the difference between like a rapid test and PCR? Which one should I do? And the answer is, if you want a very reliable test, PCR. It is a little bit longer, but PCR is the way to go.
Thank you for clarifying for all the people out there who are still confused 2.5 years later. I have to like skirt, like rewind back to something you said a moment ago, where you said you sliced mouse brain. How one slice a mouse brain?
So, okay, you know, when you go to the, like, when you go to the deli section of, like, a grocery store, and you know, and this is a bad analogy, but it really is the best way to explain it. And you know how you're like, I want the ham sandwich. So
yes.
They got the big old piece of meat, and they have, like, a little slicer, right?
Yes.
So we have a machine that literally is like that, where we have a blade that like moves, and we really are cutting the brain into different slices.
Wow.
And the only difference is that, I mean, they're like minor differences where we have to keep, specifically for my experiment, I have to keep the brain frozen. So the brain is frozen solid, and I'm just like cutting the brain slices, and I have a little tweezer, and I'm collecting these little sections, and I'm putting them in like a little pool of saline solution. But it is so cool. I've been doing this for
I've been doing this for a long time
and I love it.
That is like legit so, like surgeon and science mixed together. But what is like the reason why we use, is it just mice, rats, gerbils? Like why do we use those for biochemistry?
Like cutting brain sections?
Or like why do we use mice to like understand what could be then translated to a human brain, I guess? Like are we close to mice brains?
Confidants, my sweet confidants. Quick break to tell you it is 2022. It is the year of taking care of ourselves. We have all been through it. So you know what I'm here to talk about? BetterHelp. Baby, BetterHelp, my favorite platform, which is an online therapy platform that you can use to get through so many things that are interfering with your happiness. Things like LGBTQIA plus matters, grief, anger, family issues. They got it all. You can be matched with a licensed counselor in under 48 hours and getting therapy started for the new year. Y'all always know I'm saying therapy should be affordable and accessible to everyone, and BetterHelp does just that. My new therapist is teaching me EFT technique, which is called emotional freedom technique. I mean, they are just loaded with knowledge. I'm absolutely obsessed with her, and I do therapy every single week. And I want you to start living a happier life today, which is why you're going to get 10% off of your first month of therapy when you use code CI. That is 10% off your first month when you use code CI by visiting betterhelp.com/CI. And join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, .com/CI.
So, I mean, to some extent, yes. Like, the, really the answer is just feasibility. It's much cheaper. Mice, they breed much, much faster. I mean, like, the closest animals, like, if we look at, like, other, like, monkeys.
Confidants, sober girlies, are you looking to cut back or cut out alcohol this year? Come on, join me and Zach on our sober journeys. Recess Zero Proof craft mocktails are the perfect alcohol replacement. We've recreated the cocktails you know and love, like a lime margarita and a grapefruit paloma, so you can enjoy the flavors and feelings of those cocktails without the booze. That's right, zero proof, zero compromise. Listeners can get 15% off the Recess mocktail sampler at takearecess.com/Kelsey. Each can is lightly sparkling mocktail infused with functional ingredients like so many stress balancing adaptogens made with real fruit and only 25 calories or less. It's a guilt-free way to unwind. Whether you're relaxing after work or hanging out with friends, make Recess mocktails your drink between drinks or, like me, your forever mocktail. I am so obsessed with the ginger lime mule and also the grapefruit paloma for spring. It's my favorite go-to weekend drink. Get 15% off Recess mocktails now at takearecess.com/Kelsey so you can enjoy your favorite cocktails without the consequences.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
But it's just monkeys cost a lot of money to breed, to maintain rats and mice. Whereas like each generation, like they only take 3 weeks to get pregnant and deliver.
Oh my babies. God.
Yeah, what? Exactly. It's so quick. It's so quick. And so, you know, you can have like grandparent mice like in the span of like 2-3 months, and so it's super super quick, and so it's so cheap, and we can house a lot of mice in like one small confined area. They're super easy to take care of. What else? And they're small, they're tiny. It's just like a lot of the pros outweigh the cons.
I see. And this also might be a dumb question, but when you take a brain, well, you're saying you're being sweet, but like when you take a brain out of a mouse and then you freeze it and then you're slicing it and doing things to it to like test things, is the brain still working? Because don't you detach it and then doesn't it just become a fleshy ball of meat?
No, that really is a good question. And it's honestly, there are no dumb questions, I promise you. The reason why we freeze it, it's like as if like we're freezing it in time. And so we don't want any of the cells to die. So that's actually why we freeze it, to preserve everything. It's like as if I'm taking a camera and I'm taking a picture, and it's like at that moment, none of the cells are dead. Everything is in place. Everything is intact.
Okay.
That's a very good question.
I know this is like not on my list of questions, but I'm like, we're down this rabbit hole, or I should say mice hole, too far. But like, is that why rich people want to put their heads on ice? Because they think in the future they're going to be able to find a way to like turn their heads back on?
Ooh, you know, maybe I can't speak on their behalf, but I think that is that is their objective. And I'm not too sure about the science about that, but I know that it costs a lot of money to try to maintain a frozen human body.
Yeah, that just seems like a lot of work and refrigerator energy and like, just let me go into the ground. I don't know. But it does make me wonder like what you feel as like a young person in this field, seeing so much, like I had to imagine seeing the vaccines come so quickly and work so effectively was like a big deal, and seeing how rapidly science is evolving. Like, what are you excited about with what you do that like can come from how quickly and like intelligently we are moving forward in the field of science?
Ooh, well, you know, when we look at the bigger picture of my project, I'm trying to understand specifically how one region of the cerebellum is developing. And so I'm further trying to understand how this cerebellum is developing in these patients that have this syndrome. Mm-hmm. Now, the more that we understand this, the development of this region of the brain, the more we can try to, I guess, make it even better in like a neurotypical person, or like maybe we can further enhance some of the properties of this brain in a more healthy or neurotypical person. And so, I mean, we can make more medication or better medication to pinpoint other regions of this brain and try to better it or optimize our capabilities.
And do you think that's something that'll happen in our lifetime?
Honestly, I want to say realistically, no, it's just like baby steps. Like definitely my project is like baby steps to like the grand scheme of things of everything.
Yeah. And like you talk about being in a lab a lot, and I just watched this one movie where there was like two boys, like college was ending and one was a scientist, and he accidentally left his refrigerator open. And then they fall in love and they were gay the whole time. Gay science. No, I'd watch that movie for sure. But like he left his fridge open and then they went out and partied, and like the whole story was him trying to get back to the lab, but like things kept happening in the night of shenanigans where like he was so worried about losing his, what was it? I don't even remember what he was refrigerating, but they made it back and they closed the fridge and his thing was saved. And it's like, is that like how you work, where it's like you can't leave, or do you end your trials and get like a vacation and get to go to Hawaii, or like how does your life work in terms of bettering science?
That is so funny that you mentioned that story. I don't know what movie it is, but that is honestly something that I would do. Where like if I'm like leaving a lab, I'm like, oh holy moly, I left the fridge open, and I would like run back. And it really is like these fridges, you don't understand, like these fridges can reach below temperatures of like negative 80 degrees. And so they're really, really cold.
Holy shit.
In fact, I store my brain samples in those freezers. And, you know, if these freezers are left open, everything is thawing out. And if these brains are thawing, then exactly, the brain cells are dying. And so then at that point, they're no longer to look at. They're like no longer good to look at. And like, it's very important that we preserve the brain tissues, because some of these brain samples are like 3, 6 month year old, month old mouse brains. And so we definitely, you know, don't have time to, I mean, we have time, but we'll waste more money trying to age up these mice. And so, a lot of my, when it comes to my lab work, my ethic, it's the complete opposite of my social media ethic of like, you know, of like, social media, I'm like, I post whenever I want to. Whereas in lab, I'm very meticulous with all of my projects and all my experiments, okay? And I like plan most of my experiments like 3-4 months in advance. And so it's very important that you stay consistent with a lot of the experiments, because one thing that we do in this field is we're always double checking each other's work. So like, you know, if I do this one experiment, if someone on the other side of the world is doing the same experiment, are they able to replicate my results?
Wow.
Yeah. So if they're able to replicate my results, then it just indicates that, okay, that's how it is. But if someone on the other side of the world is like, this scientist said that if they did experiment A, they got these results, but I just did that experiment and I got totally different results. Well, it's either they did something differently, I did something differently, or maybe they didn't do it correctly, or maybe they made up the results. And so we're always double checking to make sure that the science is correct. Is it true? And it's really good. It's kind of like check and balancing
balances,
each other, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and that seems
come
like
on, history
I'm
major.
Like, okay, listen to me. I don't mean to keep like relating what you do back to like coronavirus, because I know that's not why we're fucking here to talk about that. But I'm so fascinated by like when the vaccines were rolling out and there was sort of this conversation like, and we're sharing the information and knowledge across the globe, and that's why it was able to be rolled out so fast. But then you hear things that like America was gatekeeping information and like, and keeping vaccines away from other countries. And it's like, where does the politics come in with that? Because it sounds like the community is supposed to be very collaborative,
right,
but also,
right,
you know, one country like Russia or China, who we're constantly competing against, like might want to be able to cure this disease or disorder that you're working on first. So like, where do the bigger picture politics lie?
You know, I'm probably not a really great spokesperson when it comes to this topic, but when I first joined a lab, I joined solely because of my interest in research and understanding science. But then I soon learned from my higher ups that research and funding labs in general is very, very political. And so it's very political. The only way a lab can run and function is if we get funding, if we get money to keep operating. And so it very is political. And in the middle of this pandemic, or when it happened, it really was like kind of like all hands on deck. Let's try to help each other to some extent.
Right.
And so, yeah. And so I think that's where politics comes in. And that's where a lot of like the holding back came from. And like I said, I'm not the best spokesperson because I really don't know. And I am a little bit naive when it comes to that stuff. And I feel like once I'm further down the line of my career, I'll have a better understanding of this topic.
Sure. And like, I guess the way to relate it back to yours is like, if someone was able to come up with a massive breakthrough in the disease you're trying to, I don't know, is it cure the right word that you're trying to cure or alter?
I guess, yeah. further understand, if that's probably the best way. Further understand.
Further understand. So if like someone across the world made a breakthrough in further understanding this disease, is that like good news for you, or are you like, fuck, I was supposed to be the guy?
That brings me up to a really good topic, where You know, like I said, when I first joined, it really was like the pure interest of science, and I thought it was going to be very collaborative, like we're going to help each other. But it really is, it's very competitive. Like in academia, the way to get, I guess, recognized, like the currency within academia is publishing papers. You know, think of like publishing papers as a science report on steroids. But it's to tell the whole world, like, hey, I made this discovery, here's what I did, and you meticulously write out everything that you did for that experiment so that other people can replicate it, other people can critique your methods and whatnot. And when another group who is studying the same thing that you're studying publishes a paper first, the term is like getting scooped. Like, oh my gosh, I just got scooped. And that is like a researcher's worst nightmare to get scooped, because now like your project isn't as I wouldn't say as important, but it's not as well recognized as the first paper that published it.
I mean, that always goes back to like, do you want to be the first or do you want to be the best? Because just being the first doesn't always necessarily mean you're the best.
And so when there's always like this push of when I was in my lab, when I'm like working on this project, there's always this push from my higher ups to like, you know, work harder, work faster, because we don't want to get scooped.
Right.
And so I think that's where sometimes academia can get a little unhealthy, where like boundaries are crossed, mental burnout, and then people aren't understanding other people's mental health and whatnot. So that's where like some researchers need to draw the line of like, okay, like let me back off. And so there's this idea, it's very well known that like sometimes grad school can be very, very toxic because these bosses aren't understanding their grad students' like mental health.
Well, I mean, that kind of brings me into like a sharp left turn that I want to talk about like you specifically being in this field. Like, I don't know if you know this, but you're gay and you're also Asian.
What?
I know.
I'm gay?
I'm so excited to be the one to tell you this news. Like, what an honor. And like, as a queer person myself, like, I know what it's like to be politicized in it, but also like celebrated. And so you're giving me Vogue fully right now. My hands are not warmed up. I haven't stretched this morning yet. But like, tell me about it. You're a gay Asian scientist. What does that mean for you?
I'm gay Asian. Oh, baby. It means I'm a unicorn. No, yes. I'm in a really good lab because everyone is just kind of like, okay. And, you know, and I think, like, I hear other labs of, like, oh, yeah, there's some people in my department who's, like, a little homophobic or is, like, anti-Asian, like, at other institutions. But I'm at a really good place where everyone is just so supportive and so uplifting. And, I mean, if I got any hate, quote unquote hate, it's probably from like social media of like, why is he gay? And it's like little kids or something. And I'm just like, and those stuff, like, I'm not fazed by it, like, ew, he's a faggot. It's like, yes.
And? Your point. Yes. Astute, like, observation. Yes.
Like, I'm a faggot. Okay.
Like, you're giving me facts, so what's the point?
Like, yes, do you want me to make it even more obvious? Like, I know I'm gay. Okay, and
yeah.
So I mean, and I don't get fazed by those comments or like, oh, he's Asian, like, yes, I'm Asian. If anything, I think it's really important that I keep making this content so that other gay Asian scientists know that, like, oh, wow, like, there are other people like me around the world, and he's quote-unquote big, and he's making on TikTok. And it's, you know, I definitely want to make sure that, like, I'm able to represent scientists in a good light, and really show that scientists come in all shapes, sizes, genders, orientations, and whatnot.
That's so freaking important, because it is so true that, like, it stereotypical media presents scientists in such a way, whether I feel like the stereotype is like an Asian stereotype or like an old white guy with a beard. And I don't think I've ever, nothing that comes straight to mind, have I ever seen a gay scientist. Like, maybe there was like queer hinting at people in science, or like, you know,
they were, they were just best friends.
Like, maybe some women that like had other women roommates. Yes. They're like besties. Exactly. And I feel like that's what you're doing is so freaking important, to show people that like, you don't at all have to fit into this mold, or like, you know, science is so like rigid and meticulous, and it doesn't seem like there can be any fun. And when I think of gay people, I'm like, we're a, no pun intended, like an ass load of fun. And so I think it's so important for you to keep showing that this can be something that people can do and have fun and still keep their identity as a part of their work. Like, do you feel at all that your identities have helped you be as good of a scientist as you are, or like, even to the contrary, has anything, have you felt like has it hurt your career at all?
Me being me has not hurt my career. I mean, if anything, I've been told that I am too much sometimes. And yeah, I was like, but these are like older people within my institution who are just like very traditional, like back in my day, science was like this, and it's, we don't do anything else. and so I think they're just unfamiliar with this new territory. And so I just try to give them benefit of the doubt that like, okay, they're just not understanding. And so that's where I come in. Like, I'm gonna like turn it out. I'm gonna ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-boom. And I'm gonna change I'm gonna change your mind.
Yes.
And so like, once again, that doesn't like bother me or faze me. If anything, it just allows me to put my teacher pants on and continue being me and further show them and showcase that I'm still capable, that it's not going to hinder me from doing my experiments. If anything, I think I am showing science in a good light, and I'm making it more fun, making it more accessible. So, you know, like, let your negativity be my fuel to keep doing this.
I feast on negativity of trolls. I eat it for fucking breakfast. So speaking of fun, let's talk about Lab Shenanigans. First of all, what a fun name. Ooh. But what is it, and
so
what inspired
Lab Shenanigans,
it
started out with honestly just me fucking around in lab and just joking around. I make all my videos, most of them like late at night, and I would just literally, the first couple of videos, I would just dance and just prance around in lab, turning some objects into outfits. Like, we have like a cardboard box for broken glass, and then that box is picked up once a month. And we had like an empty cardboard broken glass box, and so I decided to turn that into an outfit. And I took a picture of it. And so that, you know, that was kind of my content early on. And I couldn't think of a really good name when I was making all these content. And so I made a separate social media account on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and whatnot. And I was like, okay, for now, like, I'm just going to name myself Lab Shenanigans. It'll just be a placeholder until I find a better name. And a couple of years have passed, and I can't think of a better name. And so I just kept with Lab Shenanigans. So I kept that name, Lab Shenanigans. And then probably like a year into making this content, I gained a lot of followers over time. And I got like a lot of positive feedback, but I think it reached to a point where like, I didn't just want to keep, I guess, like memeing around on social media. Maybe it's like my inner scientist self, but I wanted to make a difference. And, you know, some can argue that making funny content is making a difference online. But for me, I'm greedy. I wanted to try to like make a difference by trying to make my content a bit more educational, definitely keeping the entertaining factor in there, maybe a little less shenanigan-y, but more science-y, more educational. And so my content definitely steered in that direction over the past couple of years. And I just kept pretty much going at it. And I've been just getting more and more positive feedback. And so I feel like, you know, once this grows bigger and bigger and bigger, I definitely want to, at the end of the day, like, hopefully get my own TV show, YouTube series, whatever that is. And maybe I'm hinting at something right now. Maybe I'm...
Maybe a little
TV show.
We love tight lips. Oh my God. I can't believe. I mean, like, yes, I can believe, because it's so exactly what you're doing is so important. And like, you and your identity and like the brand you've created is so fun. And I think that that's so important. And so like, you kind of already answered my last question, but it was going to be like, what's next for you as a scientist and also as the creator?
I've always been one to keep a lot of things on my plate. And so I like keep myself busy juggling a lot of things. And so I am planning to go into a PhD program. And that is a long-term goal, go into a PhD program. And then continue these brand sponsorships and also keep collaborating with a lot of brands. And then with my background in theater, to really, like, I really want to inch towards television. And definitely, I mean, like I said, I'm hinting towards something, but I really want to keep, I definitely want to step into, like, television, long form video content, and everything's been going very, very well so far. And so I think I'm very happy with how things turned out, but that's the next steps for me.
Oh my God. You're like, life is just coming together in such a beautiful, like, packaged way. Like, you're achieving all your dreams and you're being who you authentically are. And like, people are rewarding you for that. And we just absolutely love that for you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, for any of the confidants who are like interested now and just like eating num 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 all about your science, where can we find you?
Social media. You can find me. It is at lab_shenanigans on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, OnlyFans. I'm kidding. I don't have OnlyFans. But yes, find me on those social media platforms and Snapchat too, I guess. lab_shenanigans. Yes.
Oh my gosh. Okay. All of those will be linked below, obviously, including the OnlyFans that we're definitely going to create for you, like you doing things like with a beaker in like precarious positions. So make sure to follow Darian and all the things that he's doing. And confidants, don't forget, should they rate this podcast
really
5 stars?
Time.
Did you have a fun time? I'm like,
it's
forcing
like,
you.
Like,
I'm like, tell them you had a good time.
We're just like, okay, all right.
Bye. No, confidants, go rate this 5 stars. I don't see why. Like, use it as a little science experiment to like see the qualitative data of what I might be. I don't know. I'm trying to use science terms to say like, just go rate this podcast. That would be super
please.
Helpful.
5 stars. Confidants. 5 stars.
Thanks, Darian, and confidants. We will see you next week. Ta-ta.